Scott and I have long argued for the single vendor approach to 403B and 457B plans. Today's guest works to make this a reality.
Our guest today is Debbie Carden. Debbie has been in the employee benefit and communications business for over 20 years, and during that time, she has consulted and partnered with organizations in both the private and public sectors. Debbie is the benefit coordinator for the nonprofit Illinois Public Pension Fund Association, or as we'll refer to them in this podcast, the IPPFA. Debbie was responsible for the expansion of the defined contribution plan known as the Wise Choice Plans, great name, by the way. And there are nearly 100 units of governments participating in the Wise Choice Plans, which include a 457, retirement health care funding solutions, and a 403B. This cooperative provides a low-cost, high-touch service model and has saved public sector workers over $8 million in fees. As the benefit coordinator for the IPPFA K-12 initiative, Debbie's responsibility is to educate both employees and union leaders how these programs run and how to help them eliminate the egregious fees being charged by the insurance carriers by consolidating their defined contribution plans to a single platform. Debbie has been a speaker at both ASBO and IASBO, along with regional township organizations and the Illinois Association of County Board Members, and currently is an elected trustee in the Village of Glenview, Illinois. Debbie, welcome to the Teach and Retire Rich podcast.
Well, thank you both very much for inviting me.
I've known you, Debbie, for about 5 years now. We started emailing back and forth. Somehow we connected through, I just think probably through 403B Wise or through some articles that we had written that we realized that we had some things in common. And it's been kind of fun bouncing ideas off of you. You kind of are a 403B warrior, like I'm here in California, Dan's there in New Mexico. You're a California 403B warrior up there in the Illinois area.
I am. I've been called a zealot, not a warrior. I like warrior better.
Well, zealot kind of brings the idea of you like leading a religious cult. We'll go with warrior.
Well, Scott, I don't know if you remember, the NEA called me a zealot as well. And I agree with Debbie. I don't know if that's the best term. It's a little bit of a, what is that? An underhanded compliment, I think.
A backhanded compliment. Yeah, I think so. Well, Debbie, welcome to the program. We're excited to have you on. Dan and you actually have a few things in common. I hear Buffalo. You have Buffalo in common. What does that mean?
My mom's family is from Buffalo, and I have spent summers there and holidays there, and really have always thought of that as my second home. So it's always fun to kind of talk Buffalo with people who are familiar with it.
Great. Well, I've got a slight connection there for the two of you. My father-in-law grew up in North Tonawanda, and that is not too far from Buffalo.
No, that definitely counts.
All right, well, let's get into today's topic. We're really going to be focusing on single vendor and the advantages of having a single vendor. Before we do that, can you tell us a little bit about the IPPFA and the Wise Choice plan for educators?
IPPFA is a nonprofit association made up specifically or exclusively of public sector workers, police, firemen, teachers. And so our job, we were created back in 1985, and our job is to educate public pension fund trustees. So in Illinois, there are municipalities have a police pension fund and a fire pension fund, so 600 and some funds. And our job is to make sure that those pension fund trustees are educated to the fiduciary standard of prudent investor, which is a higher standard than prudent person. And all of the big pension, statewide pension funds are also members of our association. So back in the end of the 1990s, we were trying to work with the insurance industry to get the deferred comp plans to be better. As you know, they're high expense. And really, the insurance industry wasn't willing to work with us. So the board said, well, you know, let's do it ourselves. And we pooled the buying power of all of our members and created our own deferred comp plan, which is the 457 plan. Since then, we have over 100 and I think 8 or 9 units of government at this point in Illinois and Arizona and Florida and Texas. So we're really expanding. Back in 2007, when the school district regs were talking about being changed, we decided that why should, you know, public school employees not have the benefits of lower fees and higher service, and expanded back to them in 2008. And added the 403B plan.
Wow, you are speaking our language, Debbie. But there's something unique about the way you operate this program. There are a lot of states have adopted, you know, a 403B at a statewide level. We have one here in California. North Carolina did one. I think Arizona even has one. Maybe Iowa. So. And actually, there a lot of states have adopted a deferred comp plan as well. You guys operate a little differently in that you will only operate this as a single vendor option. Am I correct about that?
You are. And the reason is our board feels that it's just within our mission to do things to best practice and the prudent person standard. And it's not prudent to have multiple vendors.
But Debbie, your critics, our critics, the NTSA might push back on this single vendor idea. And they would say, but, you know, teachers deserve a choice. They need a choice. They have to have access to every single product that's out there, because otherwise, how would they ever save for retirement? What's your response to that?
My response is they're exactly right. And the way to make sure that teachers have a choice and actually expand the options of investments is a single vendor with a brokerage option. You know, one of the challenges that we see in this multi-vendor environment is that the teachers who want to do that extra work and, you know, do the research can potentially get lower priced vendors in the 20 or 30 or whatever options that they have. But the overwhelming majority of participants in the 403B plan don't either have the time, the patience, the inclination to do any of that. And so by having a brokerage option on a single vendor, the people who want to take control can absolutely get access to Vanguard and Fidelity through that brokerage window and actually have more investments than they would have, including ETFs, than in a multi-vendor environment. And then the people who don't want to spend the time or do the research actually get a better plan with higher educational levels and transparency. And the education and transparency are really important. And right now, they're nowhere to be found in the multi-vendor system we currently have.
Debbie, my understanding is your organization started in the 457 world. How would you describe that world sort of briefly?
It's much less of the Wild West. Most of the municipalities that we see might have 2 or 3 vendors, but definitely not the 15, 20, 25 vendors that we see on the school district side.
Yeah, and that leads into my next question. So you had this, you know, experience in that kind of environment, which is such a saner situation. What was your initial reaction? Did anything surprise you as you went into the 403B market, or were you prepared for all the nonsense you encountered?
We were not prepared. And it was a lot of nonsense. I mean, when we made the decision to go with a single vendor, you know, with that being our model, it made it harder. You know, it would be much easier to go into a school and say, let's consolidate into three. But even when you do that, you're really hurting that educational component because you need an independent educational arm. And because our association is a nonprofit specializing in retirement education and investing, we can come to that and educate about what is best practice at the individual level. And you know what you also see is that when you have, let's say you have a statewide 457 plan that the school district might have access to and multi-vendor 403B, you still have salespeople not educating the participant on what's best for them because they only get paid if you're in their plan.
I think I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the point you're making, we had first heard it from Barbara Healy, our good friend who's been in the industry for a long time. She talked about you cannot have education even in a two or three vendor environment. All of that sales work should occur at the vendor selection level. This is not something that participants should be subjected to. So I just want to echo what you're saying. And if anyone, you know, school districts are listening out there that are considering going to one vendor, I mean, this is a key attribute of this. Now you've sort of fought it out who you're going to select as your vendor. Now you can educate. And that's truly how you help the participant.
Right. And that's true. And, you know, the lead to do this doesn't even have to be the school district. I mean, I know you've interviewed a teacher from Buffalo, and he was talking about, well, why doesn't the union help us do this? You know, the union helps us with all these other things. And at the local level, the participants can help drive the process. Because one of the things that we were able to do with our nonprofit hat on is to do participant education. Even when we're not in the school district, we educate on single vendor versus multiple vendor. And when you have participants in a room and explain to them what the difference financially will mean to them, I think we only had one person ever say to us, well, why wouldn't we do this? That's the overwhelming feedback that we get. And so participants can lead the charge too and not wait till the school district does it. And there are co-ops throughout the country who actually make it easy. So school districts who say, I don't have the resources to do this, can join a co-op that already does the due diligence and acts as the fiduciary for the plan.
Debbie, recently there was a feature article in Plan Sponsor. They were featuring School District 27 Northbrook. They adopted your program. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of how that came about and how that's going?
Sure. That actually came about because one of the board members was pushing for this. So District 27 had been told by their attorney that they needed to establish an investment policy statement, and they didn't know how to do it. They didn't want to do it. And when the board member heard about our plan, she thought this would be a great solution. She put us in touch with the business officer, and the business officer went through her due diligence and looked at us and said, this solves all our problems. And it was really a show of what leadership at the district level can do. This, I think she's now the assistant superintendent of business affairs, but she met us and implemented it within 3 months.
Wow, that's really fast.
I mean, it's great leadership in a union environment. She got the union leaders together and said, this is what we want to do. This is why we want to do it. All of them were very supportive, especially the participants, because it meant more money in their accounts for them. And so it's been great. Participation has increased over 50%. Contributions have gone up. And what we've seen that's really nice is that where the money goes, whether it's pre-tax 403B or Roth, whether it's pre-tax 457 or Roth 457, has really changed because individual employees can make the decision that's best for them after we've educated them. It's not a one-size-fits-all deal. And in Illinois, where we already have tier two teachers, which means teachers that have different pension benefits, they really need to start saving immediately. And young teachers should be saving into Roth, whether it's 403B or 457, it doesn't matter that much at that point, but they're never going to be this poor again. And so to take advantage of the rules that allow them to pay their taxes today. And what we see in a multi-vendor environment is the vendors are still pushing pre-tax savings, which really hurts these people.
I agree about the idea that younger teachers should probably look really hard at a Roth IRA because often they don't have good choices. Often they don't need that tax benefit. So I definitely agree with that sentiment. I wanted to go back real quickly to the article in Plan Sponsor that Scott referenced, and we will have that as part of the show notes. You know, you were talking about some of the benefits, including increased participation, but the other one too is a savings in fees. And in the article, the superintendent quoted there says that they've already saved $170,000 in fees. That's remarkable.
It is. It is. And, you know, one of the pushbacks that we hear about consolidation to a single vendor is, well, what do you do with the people who already have their money in other vendors? And again, what our association pushes is education and transparency. So we do comparisons for each individual participant to show them what they're paying currently, which surprises them because, as you know, most participants think these programs are free. And so they have a comparison for what they're currently paying with what they would be paying with our plan. And we show them the savings. And then we tell them, you know, we also fully disclose if there's a surrender fee. Again, most vendors in the industry have it. We don't. And then, you know, it's really a math game. And what we've seen is the overwhelming majority of people make that change.
This is such important information to get out into the public. And it's actually very timely because I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Sorelli, the research group just came out with some key findings and an extensive report, but I've only been privy to the key findings. And the title of the report is U.S. Not-for-Profit and Governmental Defined Contribution Plans 2016. And so they looked at the 403B, the 457, and the 401A, and they talk about the multi-vendor environment. And one of the, in their executive summary, they say that one of the reasons that there's a multi-vendor environment, they say more than half of respondents cite participants' preference for having a choice among vendors as the primary reason for this arrangement. And I just don't think that's true at all. I think they don't understand the benefits that you just laid out.
I would agree. And we've seen that when we do the education for participants. You know, we all, I think, don't like change. Most of us, I'm one of those people. But when you can have it explained to you why that change is in your best interest, and personally, you know, my retirement is something that I care strongly about. If someone can show me how doing the same things gets me more money, I'm going to take advantage of that. And I think one of the benefits that we have at this point is we have real data on real schools throughout the country that have made that change. So this isn't new anymore. It shouldn't be scary. It shouldn't be something people still say they don't believe it's too good to be true, because we know that it works.
Debbie, there's this study that I've debunked that the NTSA put out. I mean, it was just you can't even really call it a study. But you know, they said that when you reduce vendors, what's going to happen is participation is going to fall. And then they cited figures which were, for the most part, completely mischaracterized. You have a completely different experience. Participation didn't drop when you went to a single vendor. In fact, it looks like participation rose. How can that be when it's so apparent that can't happen?
Well, I don't like to I do like to speak bad of them, so I'll pile on. One of the things that they were doing was they weren't actually fully disclosing the information. So the study was, if you go to a single vendor 403B, and oh, by the way, there was a single vendor 457, did 403B participation drop? That may have happened. You know, where once people are being educated, their decision personally is that the 457 was a better plan for them. But they never talked about overall participation in the district. And so they're not really being transparent, which shouldn't shock anybody. But again, education and transparency are really important. So we know that in every single school district that we have touched, participation goes up, every single one.
Wow. I just don't see how that can be true, Debbie. How can we believe you when this clearly unbiased, unconflicted organization says that you're wrong?
You know, what we tell people about what makes us different from everybody else is, you know, we have to earn our business and our reputation every single day. And, you know, our plan doesn't have any surrender charges. But if someone were to think that we were not telling the truth, that we were not doing what it is that we said, that we were not acting in the best interests of participants, they could fire us and roll all of the money to a different plan. And in fact, we've said, you know, to schools who are on the fence, give us 2 years. And if you don't believe that what we've said we've done, go back to the status quo. AXA would love to take your money again.
I think that's a great point. Because, you know, when you go with most of these other providers, there are, if you change your mind or if they don't perform like you expect them to perform, guess what? You're stuck. You can't just move your money. You're stuck there for a long time. And that's a big problem. You're right. You've got to earn it every day because they can fire you the next. Let me ask you a quick question, kind of transition a little bit. Auto-enroll, what's the status of that there in Illinois? Is that something you're looking at doing? Is there any push for that? How does that fit in, if it does at all?
Auto-enroll in Illinois doesn't, because it's not legal right now in a union environment. It would have to be negotiated. I know other parts of the country, Georgia, Arkansas, they are doing auto-enroll very, very successfully. But again, they're only doing it in a single vendor environment because you can't do auto enroll in a multi-vendor environment. Where would the money go?
Equity indexed annuities.
Alec, which ones?
Oh, I'm just playing around. So it sounds like there's you're leading kind of a little mini revolution there. But I think people would be surprised to know that an organization that has Illinois in their name actually is not just in Illinois. I don't know if you mentioned this on air, but off air you mentioned that you actually have – it looks like you have plants in Arizona, Florida, and Texas.
Right, and we actually will be changing our name to the National Public Pension Fund Association. We're in that process because people in Arizona specifically have said to us, well – why are we dealing with Illinois for all of those negative, you know, connotations? And so we are in the process of changing the name.
Got it. That's very interesting. So this plan is open to any employer in the any 403B, any 457, so state, local, public school districts. This is open to them.
It is, but it has to be a governmental employer. It's a government plan. So if you were in healthcare that's not connected to government, even though you have a 403B, we wouldn't be able to give you access to this.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So government 403B providers should definitely be looking at considering what will soon be the National Public Pensions Fund Association. And Debbie, can you tell us actually a little bit about the plan itself, you know, so like fees, fund families, who the record keeper is, that kind of stuff? Yeah, just a brief overview.
Sure. Our record keeper is Transamerica, and our core platform are the Transamerica mutual funds. So we manage money on our core platform the way pension funds manage money. So it's, you know, our managers, each different mutual fund is a different asset class. It's managed to that asset class designation. And if we were to ever think that the manager is not doing his or her job, the manager leaves, not the fund. So again, we talk about transparency. So our funds are our funds, have been our funds forever. And it's the managers that change. So when you see the history of the fund, that is really the history of the fund within the plan. It's not just, oh, we took out a fund because it wasn't doing better. So it's doing better now, but you didn't have access to it 10 years ago. So that's our core fund lineup. We do have a fixed account. So our fund, our fees range anywhere from zero in the fixed account to 1.60 in the 403B and 1.55 in the 457. And what we've seen is that our average price all in based on investment portfolios is on the 457 side about 102 basis points, and on the 403B side about 98 basis points. We also have a Schwab option, and that's really for the people that you talk saying, I can do this research, I want Vanguard or Fidelity or whatever. There is that brokerage option. They pay $50 and they can go knock themselves out and manage their own money. What we do have them do is sign a hold harmless for the plan, because what's unique about our plan is our plan holds the school district harmless for any of the investment managers within the plan.
Interesting. What do you do about the legacy vendors and the compliance responsibilities that go along with them technically still being part of the plan?
We actually act as the TPA also, and we work with the legacy providers as, you know, as long as they have, they're always going to be approved vendors because they have to be, but they really don't have many people participating over time. Most of them have consolidated into the single vendor platform. You know, one of the other things that we've seen, which I just want to bring up, is loans. And over the last few years, we've seen our loans increase as money might be tight. And this is a place to come of money for last resort. And our loans also charge less of an interest rate, and all the money goes back to the participant. Whereas in the multiple vendor community, there's a charge to take out your own money and then pay it back.
Well, we're starting to run a little short on time, Debbie, but I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the Illinois Municipal Retirement Plan, the IMRF. What is it that you wanted to talk about with regards to them?
Well, IMRF is one of the best, five best funded and run pension funds in the country. And they just came out with an opinion saying that school districts should go to a single vendor, that is best practice. And not only are they advocating for it, they've done it for their own employees. And so that was a very exciting move in Illinois, because it was the first time any governmental agency has taken that approach to say, yes, this is best practice, and to push back on the multiple vendor environment.
Interesting. Yeah, that's definitely something to be lauded.
Yes.
Great.
Very excited.
Debbie, what would you say to a teacher out there or a decision maker who listens to this, likes what they're hearing? How should they go about driving change? How can they contact you? How could they take steps to improve their plan?
Well, they can email us at dcarton@ippfabenefits.org, or call me at 847-922-1191. But the best way to start improving the plan is to start with education. And it would be, and we are happy to come out and do this again, because from our nonprofit experience and education of public sector workers, is to educate participants. And remember, we're only talking about 30-35% of employees, unfortunately. So to talk to them about what this means for them and how it can help their own retirement, and really getting to a single vendor tends to work itself out.
What is the biggest pushback you've gotten as you've gone, you know, around Illinois, but into these other states that you've expanded to? Is there any sort of theme behind any of the pushback?
Yes. And, you know, the insurance company, I think we started out discussing this, is the insurance companies are have a lot of money behind them. And their theme is, it's my, you know, the they talk to the participants about saying, it's my money, you shouldn't tell me what to do with my money. And I think that's where we push back a little, because if you take your money and you go get an IRA, that is your money and you are entitled to do what you want. But this is a benefit through the district. So just like you don't get $1,000 to go find your own health insurance program, the district goes out and bids out and gives you the health insurance program that they have found. This should be treated the same way. And I think when you talk with Domenuto, the Buffalo teacher, he said the same thing. Why isn't my union, you know, talking about improving this plan? And I think the status quo, unfortunately, is a very strong thing. But the status quo has been broken. There's over 100 plans that we know of throughout the country that have already been successful with making this transition.
Yeah, I think the trend has begun. I think it's going to take longer than we want, but I think we are headed in the right direction. And I too love that analogy with healthcare. How insane would it be if a school district like, let's say, LAUSD in Los Angeles had, you know, they have 35 403B vendors. If they had 35 healthcare choices and there were agents from these 35 healthcare organizations trolling school districts and union office, it would be insane. Scott, do you have any more questions?
No, this is great. And as we start to see programs like this be successful, we want to bring them to light on this podcast. And I'm sure this won't be the last time that we'll have you on, Debbie.
Well, thank you both very much for inviting me. It's always fun to talk to fellow believers.
We're the few, the proud.
Yeah, the warriors.
Well, so this is the part of the podcast where we normally do some what Dan calls Ginger Marianne questions. So we pose some rather unpleasant situations for each other to make decisions on.
That's you, Scott. You brought that element into it. These were all careless ones, and then carefree ones, and then Scott took it to a dark place. So I'm always very nervous when Scott begins to ask his questions.
All right, so I think she
hung up.
No, I'm still here.
I'm kidding.
I think we'll just do two questions each. I'll start. I'll do a very easy one first. It's really kind of a stupid one, but so Debbie, I'll ask you first. If you had to be stranded somewhere, if you had to be stranded in either the Sahara or the Arctic, which would you choose?
Arctic.
The Arctic, okay.
Totally. Wow.
I just kind of got to find out why now. No, we don't usually ask why. We just, you know, we just go on. But why the Arctic over the Sahara?
Oh, because, you know, we're hot. Is you can't take all your clothes off walking around. You can always put more clothes on.
I guess I didn't specify how much clothing you would have, so that's a good choice. Okay, Dan, what about you?
Well, I was going to say Sahara because, I don't know, it just seems more pleasant. I guess I'd rather die of heat exhaustion than freezing to death. You know, I'm going to be, I know normally our guests don't give their reasoning, but I've been swayed by Debbie. And so I can see how if I was a school district, I would be swayed by her as well. So I'm going to go with the Arctic. And plus, and this is actually a very dark reason I'm going to add to this. with global warming, maybe the Arctic won't be as bad
The
as it was
Sahara is
5 years
only going to get
ago.
hotter, but the Arctic's going to get warmer.
Exactly.
You are a long-term thinker, Dan.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm playing the long game.
That's funny. All right, Dan, you want to ask a question?
Sure. Okay, I'll ask Debbie this question. This is Chicago Bears related. Brian Urlacher or Dick Butkus?
Oh my God, you're killing me. Any Bears fan, there's no way to make a decision between those two. I have pictures of both of them on my wall in my office, and I refuse to choose.
Same number, right? Aren't they the same jersey number? Or were they different jersey numbers?
51 and Urlacher was 54.
Okay. I mean, I'm in New Mexico right now. I teach at the University of New Mexico, and you probably know this. He was a number one draft pick out of New Mexico. So he's sort of one of our few great stellar players to come out of this area.
Well, I didn't get to watch Butkus play, but I sure did watch Urlacher play. And I will tell you that there is not many players that are as much fun to watch live as he is. And he was.
And I came to New Mexico after he had graduated, but it's my understanding that he played almost like multiple positions. He was returning punts. I think he might have even played a little bit of cornerback. He made this one position famous called the Lobo position. And he was just a superb athlete and obviously had a great career in Chicago.
Yeah, and always smiled. I mean, just I've never seen anybody enjoy being on the football field more. And I will tell you, he has been at golf outings, maybe I shouldn't say this, where I have gone to watch, and has been a really decent guy too. And that's always fun when players that you respect so much turn out to be good guys.
Yeah, it's so true. And he's helping. I think that he's lending his name and in some type of investment into a sports bar near the football stadium. So they're creating like a little entertainment district for before, during, and after games, and they're going to have an Urlacher-themed sports bar there.
Well, that would not surprise me. Yeah, football players are looked at for many, many years after they stop playing.
All right, Scott, do you have an answer there?
It's kind of a tough one. I think that, if I was born and bred and lived in Chicago, I'd probably go with Butkus because he was born in Chicago. He went to the University of Illinois and played for the Bears. So, I mean, he's like the quintessential Chicago guy. But Urlacher was born in the Pacific Northwest in Washington.
Did not know that.
And I am a Pacific Northwesterner at heart. That's where I was born, so I'm gonna go Urlacher.
Whoa.
All right, Debbie, do you have a question for us? And you can ask Scott first.
Man, I just being put on the spot. Okay. I will bring it back to this topic. If you had to choose between AXA and Valak, which would you choose?
Go ahead, Scott. You got an answer.
Well, so I guess the issue here is that it kind of depends on the situation because I actually have clients who have AXA and have Valak, and they have very good plans because they were institutionally chosen. They had a committee. They were chosen through an RFP process. But if we are talking typical school teacher access, then I'd probably say Valak. They are the cleaner, dirty shirt in my opinion. I'm gonna say Valak.
Dan?
I would agree with that. In fact, we have on the front page of 403B Wise right now. We have the story of a middle school teacher who was sold not one but two really bad 403B plans. First, her first experience was with AXA. Then she went on to Ameriprise, and now she's going to have access to Vanguard funds. And then we had a story last week, which we have in our K-12 section. about a Pennsylvania high school teacher who also was sold an AXA product, eventually got out of it. So I think they're responsible for hooking a lot of teachers on very high fees, high fee 403B. So I would probably say VALIC as well. And you don't have to answer this question since you posed it. All right, Scott, your turn.
That comes back to me. So I'm going to try to word this so it sounds right. But there's been several female vocal artists that have come out with some pretty, I'll say, interesting revenge songs or even albums, especially as of late. So which female vocalist would you least like to piss off? And I'm going to name three of them. Carrie Underwood, Taylor Swift, or Beyonce. Lemonade.
I think Taylor Swift.
Even after Beyonce's Lemonade release this last week?
Taylor Swift does it over and over and over.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd want to mess with Taylor Swift.
Well, I mean, Beyonce made an entire album and music video, almost a movie about what Jay-Z did. That's pretty crazy as well. But I'd have to agree. Taylor Swift seems like she's definitely willing to take it to the next level too.
And with Beyonce, do we even know who exactly she's talking about? I've heard three different people at this point.
Well, it's obviously Becky with the great hair.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
Right. You know, with Taylor Swift, you know who she's talking about.
John Mayer. I can't believe I know this. I'm very disappointed in myself right now. All right, Dan.
I would say Taylor Swift also for the reasons our guest outlined.
All right. Okay, there we go. You're up, Dan.
Okay. So this is going to be Prince related in the wake of his unfortunate passing. So my question is, I guess, should I ask Debbie first?
Sure.
Debbie, Prince songs, 1999 or Raspberry Beret?
99.
Okay.
And can I just add that I actually saw him live at the Bears Super Bowl.
Oh, you saw that live? Oh, that's awesome.
In the pouring rain. It was not purple, however. but he was amazing.
Oh, that's so cool. And famously, he said he wanted it to rain even more, right?
Well, he was the only one. It was a nightmare.
That's funny. Yeah, they've cited that as the best Super Bowl appearance, and they talk about just how epic that was.
It was. It was also the only Super Bowl that it rained ever.
Is that the Colts? Colts Bears? Was it that one?
It was.
Yeah. All right, Scott. 1999 or Raspberry Beret?
That's tough. Kind of partial to a little red Corvette myself, but I'm gonna say, well, first of all, I mean, how incredibly sad. I mean, just shock right out of the blue. I mean, and we lose Prince and David Bowie in such a short time period. I mean, it's just terrible. But I gotta go with Raspberry Beret. Raspberry Beret, definitely for me. Raspberry Beret.
Yeah, I'm pretty fond of that song too. As Scott and I were talking about off air, I took my daughter, who's a graduating high school senior, to Coachella this week or last weekend, in the Palm Springs, Indio area. And the first night, there's this lot of palm trees that kind of like ring the grounds, and they had them all lit up in purple. And there was some nice memorials and testimonies for Prince. So he's definitely been on my mind.
Well, Debbie, do you want to finish this off with another question, or should we wrap this up?
I think we can wrap it up.
All right. Great. Well, Debbie, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. We look forward to having you on again. And Dan and I are out there in the Chicago area. We'll definitely have dinner.
That would be great. Thank you both.
Bye, Debbie. Great talking to you.
Take care.